going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The problem is you don't want to see special interest groups. If you're going to have a tariff policy, it should apply to everybody. I don't like the idea of, well, one group doesn't have the tariff, another does. It would be much better, in my opinion, to just have kind of a uniform. If we're going to have a tariff, let's just make it uniform. Everybody pays it on the imports that they bring in. Don't forget, by the way, because the mainstream media hasn't really been reporting on this, there will probably be higher tariffs on imported goods, regardless of how this turns out. But Trump is also talking about cutting the rate of tax on anything that's made in America to 15%, which would be huge. In other words, we would be shifting production away from the rest of the world to the United States, you know, to create American jobs. I think that's a really an overlooked idea and something that would create a lot of high-paying jobs for Americans.
Well, that's our friend Steve Moore, who usually joins us on Mondays, talking about the situation with the tax cuts. Of course, he's been advocating for those to be made permanent and getting that job done. A lot of people are wondering right now, this big, beautiful bill that the House is going to have to figure out how to get through such a slim majority and to get it through the Senate onto the president's desk. How is that going to happen, and what kind of ideas are materializing in the process of trying to achieve the balance of the cuts that the Republicans would like to implement? Let's speak to our friend Dory Murdoch, who joins us once again, an Ashley syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and a Fox News contributor. He has a great article right now in The Spectator. Dory, thank you for being with us again. It's good to have you back.
Annie, great to be with you again.
Give us your thoughts right now on the task at hand for a very slim balance, a majority of Republicans in the House. The juggling that they have to do to get this through is difficult, but they're coming up with some ideas that may make some people a little bit nervous.
Yeah. We're all trying to all hoping for the passage, and hopefully soon, of the big, beautiful bill. And of course, the trouble of getting the big, beautiful bill is you've got a little ugly, tiny majority in the House and the Senate of 3 seats each. And that's better than it was a couple weeks ago before the special elections in Florida, when it was pretty much a 1-seat majority. So they have a little more wiggle room, but not much. And so they've got to get this bill through a narrow passage in the Senate and in the House. And you've got a lot of supply side tax cut oriented congressmen and senators who agree with Steve Moore, and I think you and me, that want to see a big, robust tax decrease. But you do have some nervous people who say, well, you know, maybe it's cutting too much, or, you know, they have to have offset spending cuts equal to whatever the tax cut is. Some of the folks up where I live in the New York area, they want to see the restoration of the state and local tax deduction before they'll vote for this. So you've got a lot of things going on here, as you say. I think the first thing these guys ought to do, as I suggested in my article in the American Spectator, the headline is Down with GOP Tax Hike Talk. This whole idea of Republicans increasing taxes, there's some chatter about raising the top rate on millionaires and billionaires to 40%. If they do that, that would put the tax rate higher than Biden or Obama or Bill Clinton taxed millionaires and billionaires. So imagine the huge and ugly irony that would be. And just the idea of Republicans having control of the White House and the House and the Senate, proposing any kind of a tax increase would be kind of like having, God forbid, Kamala Harris having won the White House. Chuck Schumer runs the Senate. Hakeem Jeffries is the Speaker of the House. And then the Democrats with full control of Washington, D.C. say, you know what we ought to do? We should cut off all federal funding for Planned Parenthood. I don't think that would happen. I don't think anybody would think that. Nobody certainly would say it out loud. And here we have GOP control of the White House, the House, and the Senate. And you have some Republicans saying, well, maybe we should raise taxes. Republicans were put on earth to cut taxes, not raise them, especially when there's no offsetting benefits, such as, let's say, if we agreed to a higher rate of taxes on millionaires, but in exchange, the Democrats said, okay, we'll agree to begin a new system of personal investment and savings accounts within Social Security that individuals could control rather than the government. Now, that might be a worthy trade-off, perhaps, but just to increase taxes, completely lose that signature issue that Republicans have had really since the days of Ronald Reagan, would be stupid and short-sighted and totally counterproductive.
We're speaking with Dory Murdoch. I encourage you to read his piece on this particular topic in The Spectator, and we can share that as well. Dory, you know, I feel like with the Republicans, I don't even know how they're going to satisfy the wings of the Republican Party with this bill. I don't know that there is a way to do that. It feels as though in order to get this done, it's going to have to be an In Trump We Trust situation where they say Donald Trump got us all here. We have a teeny tiny majority. There's no way that we're going to be able to get what everybody in the Republican Party wants. So instead of saying, I'm going to do it my way, people are going to have to go all in and say, we're going to do it Trump's way. That's the only way I feel like this is possible.
You know, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think a lot of people respond well to either friendly or not so friendly pressure from Donald J. Trump. And he can be very persuasive, and certainly with people who agree with him on, you know, 95% of things anyway. You know, I think one way for anybody who's wobbly on this to think about it is that this isn't just a tax cut. What we're doing really is preventing the biggest tax increase in American history, because if the GOP does not make the Trump tax cuts permanent, they expire on January 1. And if that happens, you're going to get a massive, really, I think, the biggest tax increase on the American people ever. And that's not really a good posture in which to go into the year of the midterm elections. That's a really good way, in fact, to prepare yourselves, for the GOP to prepare itself to lose the House, lose the Senate, and then we can spend the next 2 years after that dealing with impeachment 3, impeachment 4, impeachment of Pam Bondi, the impeachment of Pete Hegseth, the impeachment of Marco Rubio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It'll be all impeachment all the time, and nothing productive will get done, and a lot of destructive things will happen. So if the GOP wants to maintain control of the House and Senate, it would be very smart for them to get this tax cut bill onto President Trump's desk as soon as possible. I don't think this ought to be done like Labor Day or July 4th. This ought to be done, I personally think it should have been done April 15th on tax day. Yeah. If these guys were not on vacation but voting in Congress today, they might be able to get it on his desk by May 1st. I think that's unlikely, but at the latest, this should be Memorial Day. And every day sooner than that would be better.
Dory Murdoch with us right now. I'm thinking about the midterms, and I'm thinking about, you know, the making permanent of these tax cuts. It doesn't seem like, from a voter standpoint, for just if you're on Main Street and these tax cuts be made permanent, I don't think there's going to be like great rejoicing in the streets, because I don't think people are paying attention to that. It seems like there's a lot of room for negative reaction, and that it's a must pass to make these tax cuts permanent just to keep the status quo. I'm wondering what you think are the major issues that will draw people who gave the Republican Party a chance in 2024 the motivation to show up in 2026 and maybe make that Republican majority in the House a few seats wider and retain the one in the Senate as well. What are those issues?
Good question. I think if we have a booming economy, which I think will happen if we get this big, beautiful tax cut bill signed into law, the economy will take off. I think one of the reasons the economy is sluggish now is a lot of uncertainty. People are not sure if the bill will pass. What will the tax rates be like next year? What will the tariff situation be? And so people are holding back on investing and starting new companies, expanding business operations, et cetera, and that's keeping things held back. I think if we do get certainty on lower tax rates, especially as Steve Moore said, a 15% corporate tax versus 21 today. If you produce in the United States of America, that will be a huge shot in the arm for the economy. I think things will pick up. If the economy is humming along beautifully next year, I think the GOP will do well at the midterms. I think if the situation at the border remains under control, that's a big plus for the GOP. I mean, I saw recently that by one measurement, people coming across the border are down 99% versus where they were under Biden. I mean, that's basically closure of the border. That's astonishing. Probably the tightest the border's been in our lifetimes. And I think if the situation with the tariff settles down and we have trade deals and all that hubbub goes away, that'll be a very big plus. And I think if we have either peace in Russia and Ukraine, peace in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas, or better yet, Hamas just gets totally wiped out. And even if we have some sort of a deal to keep the Iranians from having nuclear weapons, I think that'll be a big positive. And President Trump and the GOP will be able to go to the American people and say, you put us in office 2 years ago. We've brought you peace. We've brought you prosperity. We've brought everything back to normal. And we've ended the chaos of the Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, AOC, Bernie Sanders, Democrat Party. And my guess is they'll continue to go to stay as crazy as they have been, you know, flying down to help out Abrego Garcia, the illegal alien, wife-beating, gang-banging terrorist from El Salvador, who's the new poster boy for the Democrat Party. I just saw something funny that somebody at Republican Rapid Response Team put together this picture of Congressman Van Hollen, Senator Chris Van Hollen, and four congressmen who've been down there militating on behalf of this Mr. Abrego Garcia, and here the picture shows them together and refers to them as the Congressional MS-13 Caucus, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So if they do that and they keep screaming for transgender stuff, you have the Democrats saying, you know, we want to have your first, second, and third grade kids listening to all these, so-called queer theory books in class, and no, we don't want you to opt out. If you're a parent, you don't like it, too bad. You know, leave your kid in public classroom or take your kids out and put them in private school. You know, this is what they were screaming in the Supreme Court just yesterday. So if they're going to continue to push the gas pedal down on these issues, which are 80-20 issues, only 20% of the public likes this stuff. And of course, the Democrats decide, let's put ourselves where the 20% of people are and, basically give the middle finger to the 80% of the American people. That's not going to bode well for them in the midterms next year. So those are kind of things that the GOP ought to be doing. And if the Democrats are smart, they'll take a pivot towards the center. But it looks like they're just going to continue to move further and further left and, you know, clutch on that 20% of the electorate. I wish them a lot of luck with that.
You know, DeRoy, I think, too, about what will happen in the midterms will also be determined by what the Democrats do. We see a lot of people showing up to these AOC, Bernie Sanders rallies. They show up to the rallies flying privately on a jet, which is a little ironic. Do you think that the message that AOC and Bernie Sanders has to share with the American people is the message of the Democrat Party?
Largely, it is. I mean, AOC and Bernie Sanders are talking about full-blown socialism. Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of them might be talking about, you know, slightly lower-calorie socialism. But I don't see anybody in the Democrat Party talking about limited government, increased choice for people, whether it's in the economy or school choice or anything like that. I hear nothing from them about tax reduction, nothing about them about, okay, let's have programs, but let's spend more intelligently. When you've got Elon Musk and Doge saying that 40% of the calls to the Social Security 800 number, whatever it is, are fraudulent, and people trying to get granny's money out of granny's hands and put them into somebody's offshore account or whatever it is, you'd think the Democrats would say, you know what, we're with you. We don't want to see granny lose her money. Let's stamp out this fraud. Go, go, go. And instead, you know, fire Elon Musk, kick Elon Musk out of the country, send him back to South Africa, shut down Doge. Doge is awful. Doge is an offshoot of the Nazi Party, blah, blah, blah. I don't see anybody in the Democrat Party saying anything of any value to anyone. It's become, I think, a clear and present danger to the American people. It's become the party of crime. It's become the party of political violence. It's become the party of vote fraud. It's the party of carving up your kids and removing their genitalia. This is a completely out of control party. I don't think I have anything good to offer. I'd feel better if I saw somebody in the Democrat Party speaking any sense. But, you know, at best, they're deeply confused. At worst, they're terribly destructive. So I think the AOC Bernie Sanders message is the message of the Democrat Party. And AOC and Bernie Sanders, believe it or not, are not the worst of them.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate appreciate you, DeRoy. And we're going to share that article from The Spectator that you've written on these tax cuts. If Republicans need to quickly get this job done. I know a lot of people are paying attention to it and waiting for that day. We appreciate you bringing attention to it here on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, Annie. Thanks a million. See you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You as well. Bye-bye. DeRoy Murdoch is a Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor, and of course, a nationally syndicated columnist. When we come back, Taylor Riggs is going to join us, co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. And we're going to talk to her about tariffs. There's some development today, some at least commentary from President Trump on the White House lawn about negotiations with China. And that's the big one. That's the big kahuna, so to speak, on getting the new trade deals negotiated and agreed upon. I do not believe that China and the United States are anywhere close to a deal, but it sounds like at least they are having conversations. That's a good start. We'll talk to Taylor Riggs about how this is going and what it means for you and for me as folks just trying to pay attention to their retirement, trying to work hard, take care of yourself, and do so without too much interference and all these other things. Let's listen to Taylor Riggs on The Andy Fry Show next. Don't go away.
Couldn't wait to get going, but wasn't quite ready. So when I
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I wish to be clear. America first does not mean America alone.
To the contrary, it is a call for deeper collaboration and mutual respect among trade partners. Far from stepping back, America First seeks to expand U.S. leadership in international institutions like the IMF and the World Bank. By embracing a stronger leadership role, America First seeks to restore fairness to the international economic system.
We've been hearing America First is a Trump policy from the very beginning. And when we listen to all the trade negotiations and the tariff implementation, the word fairness is used quite an awful lot. Listening to the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent, there say it's not America First is not America alone. We sit and we wait and we watch as these deals are negotiated. Let's get to our guest, Taylor Riggs, back with us once again, co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. You can follow her on X at Riggs Report. Taylor, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Give us your thoughts right now. I know we talked, I think the last time we talked, it was like when tariffs were about to be implemented or maybe just had, and there's a lot of uncertainty. There's probably still uncertainty, but where do you feel this far in from Liberation Day about the tariff situation, how it's affecting the American economy?
Yeah, so gosh, I think we're still TBD. Look, a lot of economists that I speak to say we're definitely heading for a little bit of a slowdown. The IMF downgraded global growth yesterday a little bit. But frankly, the best news is we're in the middle of earnings season, which means all of these big companies that are out there have to report their quarterly numbers. And we're hearing from these CEOs. And I'm actually relatively impressed by the companies who are coming out and reaffirming their full year guidance, saying we can still stick to here's what we think is going to happen this year. And it's the same as what I told you it was going to be 3 months ago. I was very worried that I was going to get a lot of these CEOs of these big companies saying, we're having to pull our guidance because I have no visibility into the future. We don't know what the tariff situation is going to be. Things are really uncertain. We don't have a read on the economy. And I overwhelmingly am not hearing that. I'm hearing most companies coming out and saying, here's the tariff impact, and here's our business plan for the rest of the year. So that's really reassuring because those are the people who, Kimberly Clark, for example, when you're buying your diapers and your Kleenex and your toilet paper, I want to know what that CEO was saying about the consumer. Things aren't totally falling apart. We're not all falling out of bed. So I do take comfort in that. I think tariffs have been very confusing. As you know, it has been on and off. And is it Scott Bessent in charge? Is it Peter Navarro? Is it Howard Lutnick? You know, I think the White House right now is doing a very good job about putting Scott Bessent out there. He is the voice on tariffs that the market really trusts and listens to. You played that soundbite at the beginning. He is spot on. America First does not mean America alone. We're waiting for some of these trade deals to be signed, and you're starting to see some of the calmness return to the markets.
We're speaking with Taylor Riggs, the co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. Not an economist myself. Don't play one on the radio either. That's why we're so grateful for experts like you to come here. But, you know, I heard the president say as a campaign candidate that he wanted tariffs, his favorite word, he would say. Yeah. And he did couch the success that we would get to by saying it might be difficult at first. If you want to do something as transformative as what the president is saying he wants to do, I would assume there's no easy path to get to the other side of this.
Correct. Honestly, in my opinion, it's going to be, could be another 3 to 6 months of like uncertainty. I mean, on average, trade deals take 18 months to negotiate. We're trying to do these in 60 days, in 90 days, right? So, of course, there's going to be uncertainty. Of course, we're going to have some fits and some starts and some ups and some downs. But I keep hearing from everyone, you know, the first half of this year has been difficult for, you know, talk about the equity market in your pension fund, for example. But the second half of the year could be positive if we start to navigate and get some of these trade deals done. I think what a lot of people want to see is give me a couple really good big deals. Get me Japan and India to sign We can start to worry about China later. But if we can start to ink deals with some of these major trading partners, have a blueprint in place where other countries can start to follow, that sounds good. I think the White House yesterday said they have 18 proposals on paper. And 34 additional countries are coming to talk to us this week. So there is progress being made, but I think you and me and a lot of Americans at home are we're sort of transitioning from the tell me phase to the show me phase. Show me the fruits of this. Don't just talk about it anymore. You know, but I come back to all of the conversations that you and I have had about what did the American people vote for? I do not want my antibiotics made in China.
Amen.
You know, so is there going to be pain with that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there, you know, a 10, 20, 30%, 150% tariff needed to make that happen? Probably, because companies are doing their duty and they're just going where labor is cheap because that's the best way for them to make money. But we're rethinking about how important that really is in the grand scheme of things. So do I need to make Nike sneakers in America? I don't. But I would like to make really high-tech, advanced chip factories here. I'd like to make super, super advanced pharmaceuticals here. Those are, in terms of priorities, I think what American people really can stand behind.
Yeah, that's real smart.
Taylor, this is Ryan. I'm glad you went there because that's where my question was going is, you know, there are a lot of companies that we've seen announce that they're moving either more operations or opening branches or they're maybe moving the whole thing to the United States. That seemed really fast to me that so many companies have responded that quickly. I guess what I'm asking is, was that already planned that they were going to do these things? And is the move companies, move manufacturing back to America movement, you know, showing what the business community was wanting to see?
I do not think it was planned. I think this was Trump. I think that they saw the writing on the wall in November. And then when he took office in January and you had some of the best companies like TSMC, the best chip maker in the world based in Taiwan, Apple, you know, great classic American company coming to President Trump and saying because of the 75 million people who voted this way and because of your plan for the next 4 years, this is how we are responding to that. Like any good CEO would. I don't think they would do this had Trump not threatened tariffs. So I do think that that's been a great negotiating tool in these companies choosing to open up or move operations back to America, I believe solely because of the president. The hard part is how long it takes and carve outs. The problem with tariffs is you had all of these companies like yesterday, for example, Walmart, Home Depot and Target started to talk to the president. I don't need a carve out for the big companies. I want to look out for the small companies. I don't need Apple to have an exemption on still making their chips in China. I need Apple, who has the ability to make $100 billion a year, to figure out on their own how to move back to America. I don't want Trump to give them a reprieve, a carve out. So that's my only worries when you start to get these businesses who are talking to the president, who are all asking for exemptions. I don't think that works sector by sector. I think sort of you need that blanket policy. And so I think people are just, again, sort of waiting. China is going to be the biggie. I don't think we're going to be getting a deal with China immediately. So how do we figure out with the advanced chips that we really, really need, how do we start to make those here and how long does it take? If you're trying to reformulate an automotive factory, that could take 3 years. By then, we're in another presidential election cycle. That's my worry. China doesn't believe in elections, so Xi Jinping's going to be there for the next 100 years. We're looking at midterms next September. So how much of the pressure and the willingness are we willing to take before there's a new administration in charge?
Taylor Riggs speaking with us, co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. The tariff conversation seems like the hugest economic conversation we could have. But at the same time, we're waiting on the tax cuts to be made permanent. We're also waiting on the effect of DOGE and all of the clawback money to be made permanent as well. What do you think about these other two factors of the Trump approach to rebalancing the economy? How much effect is that going to have on Main Street?
Yes, huge. These are the two tailwinds to offset the big headwind of tariffs, right? A lot of people are thinking we should have done DOGE and tax cuts first and tariffs later, regardless of the order. Tax cuts are mandatory. We have to get this done. I would argue, you know, this is just me. Congress doesn't get their summer two-week break. We pull them back and they work until they get a tax cut bill on the president's desk, and then they can go take their 3 weeks off. But why they're on vacation when we don't have a tax bill on the president's desk is shocking to me. I'm paying them to do their job, and their job is to make these tax cuts permanent because that's what the American people voted for. That's a huge tailwind in terms of the clarity that it provides business leaders. You know, there's one proposal out there, not to get too wonky, about instead of capitalizing or spreading out over time how much it costs to build a factory, you can do a one-time immediate expense. So if I want to build a factory, I can write the whole thing off and not put it all on my income statement, right? Those are things, if I'm a business leader and I'm trying to invest and plan, I need to know that that's happening now. I don't want to wait until September. And DOGE is huge. Look, the cuts aren't as big as we thought for now. I think it's around $160 billion, but that's not nothing. So I love DOGE. I think it is work that needed to be done. And again, those are the big tailwinds that this economy needs to offset any impact from the tariffs.
Well, we're going to continue to follow it because, I'm just imagining the day where all three of these things hit at the same day and we're like, oh my gosh, which way do we go? But I imagine that what we've seen with a lot of bit of up and down in the stock market, that the reaction there upon any of these three entities being, you know, made permanent and getting the good news that we're hoping to get, that the economy will react accordingly and it will be a new day in America.
Yes. You know, and I would also remind your viewers, the market is not the economy. The market
right.
went up for two straight years. We're up over 50%. But a lot of people were feeling like the economy wasn't that good. So, of course, it's hard when I check my 401k or my retirement fund and you see we're still down 7% or so from the year. Well, that still means I'm up 43% in the last 2 to 3 years. So it's all about perspective. And I remind myself, remind your audience, I'm an investor for the long run. I'm investing now and hoping that the market is giving me a good return 10 or 20 years from now. I'm not selling today and trying to day trade around these events. I think that's a losing battle.
Well, Taylor, we appreciate you. Thank you for being with us and bringing some common sense facts to the conversation. We need to have a lot of that, and we're grateful for your time. So thanks for
being
with
us. My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business. I really appreciate her voice on this, and it's a very honest and steady, I think, way to approach all of these things that seem super unsteady. Isn't it weird? We were talking just yesterday, like, if you watch Fox News, you're getting really... not 100% of the time, 75% of the time, you're getting the political view of things. If you go over to Fox Business, 75% of the time, it seems like you're kind of getting the money business side of things with 25% of the politics thrown in. And it's just, I've been going back and forth quite a lot listening to them more now than I ever had before because of all of these economic transformations that the Trump administration is trying to implement. And we are midstream on all of it. And we see what's on the other side. It's just kind of like if you're crossing a really, really aggressive river and you need to get from the east side of the river to the west side of the river, and it's a moving, it's the Mississippi. When you get into the river to get across, you are going to have to fight that current all the way down. That doesn't mean you can't cross. It's just going to be where you went across is going to look a little bit different than where you started. And that's kind of where we are right now. We're still rowing. We're still working hard. I know you and I are both watching the things that Donald Trump promised that he would do. We're here in the middle of the stream trying to get to the other side. We haven't failed. We haven't capsized. It's not a total disaster, but we want to get to the other side.
People are talking about Trump's economic policy being such a fork in the road that this is a moment that's changing the post-World War II economics. That's how big people are saying this is. So the markets are naturally a little shaky. They're going, oh my gosh, this is such a big change. But for us to be where America needs to be, like you said, this is a long-term thing that I mean, gosh, if the markets even stay around where they're at through all this, that's a huge win.
Yeah.
No guarantee they will, yeah. But the one thing too that she mentioned in that interview, that the first time I had heard about it actually was when Todd Sivia was in here, because he mentioned this too, and I had not heard much about it. And I think this is something that business owners and people who are starting businesses need to hear more of, that she mentioned, is the fact that they're trying to pass 100% tax credit for hard goods, for businesses to open, to build, to buy things. That is a massive, massive incentive for small business. And when I say small business, I'm not just talking about mom and pop stuff. I'm talking about, you know, like pretty big regional businesses that could open in different parts of the country, just because they know anything I spend, that's 100% back to me in tax credit. That's big.
Yeah. And people do need to know about it, and they need to know about it sooner than later.
Yeah. Find out about it now.
Good to talk to Taylor Riggs. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the poll. Is it okay to call a non-family member sweetheart? Ryan is emphatically yes. He just won't stop talking about it. We'll get to the content that led us to this question today when we return. And I think some of you out there are going to have that same visceral reaction that I have to what I'm going to play for you. And other y'all are going to be like, so what? We'll find out who's who next.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good show so far. Derek Keith Cox, the Collinsville Township Supervisor, in studio with us at 12:25, so in the middle of the 12 o'clock hour, and we talked about the rally that we're having to encourage the state legislature, specifically the Senate, because the Illinois State House has already passed it, to allow local control over whether or not mascots that, you know, folks in the city of Rockford, how they feel about the Collinsville mascot, the Muskoda mascot, the Cahokia mascot, the Freeburg mascot, West Glen mascot, all of these mascots around here. There's more. And I know you. Every time I make a long list, I get like three texts from people like, you forgot to say this one.
But keep texting her. We want to know those.
Don't.
Yeah, keep texting her.
I know, I got it. And I want to make sure that we all have a voice, a collective voice, to say, please leave this up to the local communities. It's going to be the community's taxpayer dollars that are going to have to fix this. It's going to be in the millions for every single district are going to get poured into redoing football fields and scoreboards and basketball courts and uniforms and letterhead and all of this stuff. Millions of dollars per school district to implement the change that these legislators are saying must absolutely happen in the state of Illinois, which is a Native American-based word. There's no end to this. It's not going to change. You can try to do this thing and feel really good and comfortable in your self-aggrandized virtue for the night when you put your head on your pillow, but then the next day you've got to change the name of the state and probably a few other states around us as well. So come join us. It's a positive, nonpartisan pep rally to come together and just support our mascots. Show up for them, for these schools. I know a lot of alum listening right now, alumni from these various areas. You don't have to be an alumni from these schools. If you think that local control is important in the state of Illinois, we need you to show up. 2 o'clock at Kahawk Stadium. It's the Collinsville Football Stadium, Collinsville High School Football Stadium. And it's not just for Collinsville Kahawks. We actually want to make it as big and broad and get as many people from the area communities to show up together to have a fun, positive, peaceful pep rally to support local control over these issues. Please come. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Is it okay to call a non-family member sweetheart? So I was scrolling through my social media timeline and I came across this little clip. Now, Randy Weingarten is the president of the NFT.
I thought it was the American Federation of Teachers, but I could be wrong.
Yeah,
AFT. And she is being questioned by Martha McCallum, who I really appreciate. I think she's incredibly smart, very good at what she does. The question about, you know, ending the Department of Education, and a reminder, when the Department of Education goes away, the things that it did are going to other departments. The Department of Education did not come into existence until Jimmy Carter put it into existence as a favor to the teachers unions during his presidency. It hasn't been here forever. The Department of Education is not in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. It's something that is actually, all things considered, relatively new to how we manage education in our country. And the question that needs to continue to be asked, If everything that we're doing right now, the status quo in education, shouldn't be changed, that the Trump administration shouldn't be changing anything, let's look at where test scores are going. Are they going up? Are they going down? Is there a drastic change? Our test scores suck. It's embarrassing. And they need to be improved. And the people who are managing education right now and the biggest influences on our education, our public education system, don't seem to be interested in answering that question. Martha McCallum asked Randy Weingarten, the president of this teachers union, that question. And all of that context is not what the poll question is about. The poll question is about the way Randy Weingarten, when it started to get a little tense in this interview, because Martha McCallum was doing her job as a journalist and pushing back on Randy Weingarten, saying that these test scores, these falling test scores should matter to the American people and their investment in public education. Randy Weingarten's not having it, and she's trying to get Martha McCallum's attention and probably silence in this conversation, and she goes about it this way.
You have actually very,
Martha,
very difficult.
Martha,
outcome.
Martha, sweetheart, sweetheart, listen to me.
Please don't call
it
me sweetheart.
It actually does. I'm sorry. My bad. It actually does, Matt.
When you say Martha, Martha, Martha.
Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha.
When you say that and then you followed up with sweetheart, sweetheart, I'm going to let you guys answer this question without going too hard into it myself. You will probably never know what it's like to be a woman who's called sweetheart in this context, right? Have you ever been called sweetheart in a pejorative way?
No.
Brad?
Yes, but it was by a woman.
How?
It was same situation. And it's like, it's the old, oh, sweetheart, oh, honey, that sort of thing. And it
was there an age difference?
No, this was somebody that was close to my age.
Is that all the story?
Well, yeah. I mean, it irritates me. I don't like it.
What was the setting? What was the context of, like...
What were we arguing about? We were standing face to face, and...
It was dusk on a beach. We were standing face to face. Arguing over Doge.
I forget. Well, we were arguing something over politics or discussing something over politics. And whenever you start getting the upper hand, it is an attitude of, listen, you don't even know what you're talking about. It's a belittling move. At least that's the way it felt to me. Because I was making my point, and it's like, sweetheart, you just don't even understand.
How'd it make you feel?
Infantile? Yeah, it's like they tried to make you feel like a kid, and that made me feel angry.
You've never been called sweetheart? You kind of want to, don't
you? As Brad was telling that story,
you said
something in the back of my head said, maybe I have in a situation like that. I don't remember, though.
Well, you're on a beach arguing about Doge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a flashback of PTSD. That's why you hate it so much. You said it is okay to call a non-family member sweetheart. Were you serious?
I said it is okay in certain circumstances.
So you're a yes in the poll?
I'm a yes in the poll.
Explain yourself, sweetheart.
If you are No, I don't. I don't see how that felt because I don't know which direction you're going with it. I think there is a situation, and I'll tell you what that situation is. If you are a very sweet old man and you are in a restaurant and you say that to a very young girl in the nicest way possible, oh, you're such a sweetheart, that's fine.
That's not really calling someone sweetheart. That's different. And that's a really specific situation.
I found one, though.
Is that the only one where it's okay?
There are situations like that if you have somebody who's very, very old talking to somebody who's very young.
So you're saying the only way it's okay is if someone's too old to know better?
Kinda.
So then it's not okay.
I don't even know if too old to know better, because I don't think they need to know better. I just think they're using the word in a nice way, and that there's nothing wrong
with
it.
It's the tone.
It's the tone. Yeah. More often than not, the way that word would be used would be viewed as belittling. But there are situations where I think it would be okay. I can't wait to be that old man.
That's the problem.
I'm going to be a really great old man.
I think that you're identifying, I don't think old men who are saying sweetheart to younger females, I don't think that that's done with malintent. But it's not something that's done to males of the same age. I'm not saying that you should like correct. If you're a server and someone keeps calling you sweetheart, that you should correct the person and be that part. But since you've carved out the 1% of the purpose of this entire poll and derailed our conversation to this particular thing, if the intent is fine, I'm big on intent. If people are trying to say something nice, then okay. But it still is belittling.
Even in that circumstance, you think it's still, if you're a young female and somebody older, what about if it's a woman, an older woman that says it to you? Does that change it?
It completely depends on the circumstances, but and the way it's being delivered, of course. But like I said, intent is everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've probably just thrown the entire poll into a tizzy, and we won't have good results now because of that. So.
Well, it's just where I am, mm-hmm. and I just want you guys to be blessed.
Do you have
bless
any?
Your heart.
Do you have any comments on the YouTube poll in the context that we presented it with Martha McCallum and Randy Weingarten and the sound that we played, or is that not part of the?
Yeah, I'm a hard no on that. In fact, most situations like Brad described is probably how that word's being used nowadays,
and how we're asking the poll question.
Okay, okay. Then I'm a no in that sense.
Have you ever been around someone who? I mean, the like sweetheart in her instance is kind of a bless your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so belittling to the person who you're saying it to. And it's interesting to hear Brad's story of a female who did it to you with the exact same intent. I wonder if she got sweethearted and was like, I can't wait to play that back. Maybe.
I don't know that there's a situation where you're
we
not.
We have to break.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll be right back.